مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Edition of ترويح النفوس coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of مارك السهابة online. صوت أهل السنة والجماعة. The Voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on Palestine and we are discussing the relationship of Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam and this land of Palestine. As we know, Allah Azza wa Jalla appointed him as the Khalifa over this land. Inshallah, we now cross over to Brother Ahmad Manzoor, Sheikh Imam, who is a seasoned politician and an ex-parliamentarian, to discuss the competency and the qualifications of our new cabinet ministers. As we know, after a lot of pushing back and forth, eventually that cabinet was appointed. And however, there is still problems. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Manzoor, Sheikh Imam.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair for giving me an opportunity this morning from a beautiful city of Durban.
Alhamdulillah that cabinet has been chosen. You know, being a seasoned politician, what's your opinion about these appointments, in relation to qualifications and competency of those who have been appointed to the different ministries?
Let me just start off by drawing the attention of our listeners this morning. Once again, another casualty that has been in support of the Palestinian cause, a well-known figure internationally and in the days of South African apartheid days, George Galloway, has just lost his election. Despite 58 days ago, he won the by-election with a very large percentage of the Muslim population supporting him. Of course, he lost by about 1,500 votes yesterday, I think it is, and unfortunately lost his parliamentary seat. But all, again, as a result of the interference and the influence of the Zionists, in the electoral process itself. Now, coming back to South Africa, the cabinet has been put. There are some opportunists, of course, that have decided to join the government of national unity. There is no doubt about it. Although there are visible cracks right now, particularly, I think, with the DA raising serious concerns about certain issues where they believe the ANC is protecting some of its members by closing certain investigations. But over and above that, we know that the Democratic Alliance is not part of the Gauteng government of national unity there. Perhaps if it's something I think to look forward to in the future, and how long this government of national unity is going to sustain itself. It is very obvious that they come from political parties with different ideologies, different vision, different track records, and a different agendas, of course. So, yes. But very importantly, my brother, in the 10 years that I have been a member of parliament, I have repeatedly heard political parties in the opposition, that's the Democratic Alliance, Freedom Front, IFP, many others, attacking the ruling party, talking about cadre deployment, employing people that are not fit for purpose, people that know very little or nothing about their portfolios. They have no experience, no skills. And this was the norm, where opposition political parties still been attacking the ruling party. Now, let's look at the scenario right now. Yes, indeed, the Democratic Alliance is a main a supporter and participant in this government of national unity has 6 ministers and 6 deputy ministers. Let's start off from the ANC perspective. You've got a Minister of Justice who knows absolutely nothing about justice, who knows absolutely nothing about the field in which he has now been deployed. He's never had any experience. He's never had, you know, been involved in it, not even in the portfolio committees or anything of that nature. But she is today your Minister of Justice. Now, is it not expected from the majority of South Africans that when you put in place a person in a position, they should at least have some skills, some knowledge about the subject matter, in this case, Department of Justice? And let me say, absolutely nothing. That's the first one. If you look at the Minister of Defense, comes from an education background, has not been involved in anything to do with defense. We know of a dismal performance in the basic education, pushing for a 30% agenda of pass rate, which technically, if you speak to some of the experts in the educational field, would say it's actually about 23%. And then if you take this NG Mashaka, who has never performed and delivered the goods in terms of basic education, one of the main criteria for a better future, and you go and give it Department of Defense. Let's look at the serious levels of crime in South Africa, the contributing factors. What does the current Minister of Police know about crime and policing? Never been a police officer, never had any experience in it, never held any of those portfolios before. He's been a premier, he's been an MEC, he's been a minister, he's been everything other than in policing. But you take him and you're going to make him the Minister of Police. Right, those are just some of those that I can tell you. If you look at the Minister of Water and Sanitation, and if you listen how she was expected to take her top office, and how she failed dismally, will actually tell you the kind and caliber of people we are placing on there. But let's go to the DA. The ones that have repeatedly been raising concerns about the kind and caliber of people that you place. Now, John Steenhuisen, agriculture. Tell me, what has he had to do with agriculture in his entire political career? Nothing. From the time he was a councillor in Itegwini, tour chief, worked to everything, absolutely nothing, no experience, no skills, has never been in farming, nothing. In fact, I don't think he even has a good relationship with as many farmers as you would find Groenewald from the Freedom Front would have. So if you really wanted to with somebody with some knowledge of farming and the farming community and the challenges and weaknesses and strengths, then you could have rather given it to him. No, you took him and you put him in a position, correctional facilities, which is really insignificant, to be honest. You had to split those, that portfolio into two to give him them. So again, John Steenhuisen, not good. Look at basic education, such an important thing. Now, the minister that you put in, she's very articulate in the way she presents herself. But she's been, and that's because she's been in communications. Should you not put her in a portfolio that she is perfected, she is mastered? No, they did not do that. They took her and put her into a portfolio that she's never been involved in at all. Absolutely not. So what are you saying? Where are we actually taking this if that's the direction? Let's look at public works. Let's look at corporate governance. And we know that 18 out of 257 municipalities in South Africa got a clean audit. So it is expected that you will put somebody there that go out there and make a difference. You give this to the IFP leader, Slabisa, who has been a teacher before, who had nothing to do with governance, and yet his political party in KwaZulu-Natal and wherever they govern have got a dismal performance. Absolutely dismal performance with the number of corruption allegations and things that are taking place in the municipalities that there are. And to add to that, you give the MEC to corporate governance, also to the ISP, to who? To the former mayor of Zululand, who has just come off 1 week before the election announcement made that 322 million rand has been written off through irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And it is common knowledge that those leaders of the ISP are in the forefront of the paralysis that you face in municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal and have never performed in the last 30 years. So what is this all about, my brother? If you're taking people, placing them in positions, you know, that they know very little or nothing about, and before they even settle and start to understand what is required in those departments, it will be time for them to move or to be redeployed, or it will be a next election. Now, let me stop there for now. I've got a lot more than I can go on to, but let me give you an opportunity for further questions you may have.
Most people, they vote, you know, on the basis of the manifesto of the party. You know, if it's something that resonates with them, they will vote with that party. Now we've got this whole mix-up and mush-up. And definitely a lot of people are disheartened with the parties that they voted for. What lessons can voters take from, you know, the outcome of this past election so they make wiser choices in our regional elections in 2026 and the next national elections?
Well, I think very importantly, it's a lesson, a very hard one to learn. If you remember en masse, the Ummah, members of the Muslim community, were being manipulated to support the ANC in this election. And many of them went out in their thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, to go out and vote for the ANC. It took the ANC very little or nothing overnight to forget about where they got their support base from, just as they forgot who were in the forefront of the liberation to free us from the days of apartheid. And so, you know, it was. So what does it tell you? It tells you that politics is all about parties, it's about their power, it's about their controls and their own selfish needs. And I think it's a lesson to be learned that these are the political parties that have sold you out overnight, despite the fact them all giving you an assurance that they will protect the human rights of people all over the world, that they will not work with the Zionist parties of DA, IFP and Freedom Front and others. But yet, what have they done? They have now gone into a coalition with these people or into a government of national unity, you know, in terms of what they want to call it. And it means that they cannot be trusted. It's all about the power and the positions that they are getting. So I think it is time for us to have a rethink when we go to the local elections that are coming up, because these are the people that you cannot trust and you should not and must not trust. So I think we need to redirect our energies and our support to political parties that will, you know, will sustain and maintain their stance when it comes to creating a better South Africa and a better world, and not fall into the trap of the West and the Zionists. And that is basically what has happened here. Now, on the one hand, you talk about that the government of national unity in the interest of the country, but look at these portfolios I'm giving. I'll go through the whole lot of them. I think there's only two of them got some experience in that field out of all those ministers and deputy ministers. So it is not about creating a better life for our people. No, it's about power and control. And that's where I think we need a rethink in terms of how we go out and who we support. Those that have, you know, committed themselves that they will not work with these people who have now gone. And, you know, it's a pity we're not going to have enough time. I would have loved to have, you know, interrogated these positions, and you'll see exactly where it is leading to, how it is leading to significant and strategic portfolios and assets of the country that is being directed to be in control of the Western designers. A good example is forestries and fisheries. You know, there's been a cry from the people in the Western Cape and many other areas about how these contracts are being given to large fishing companies international companies at the expense of the poorest of the poor who live, they depend on fishing, small-scale fishing for survival. Now you go there, despite the outcry, you even go and give that particular portfolio to the Democratic Alliance, who's going to promote white monopoly capital, big companies. What is actually going to happen to those poorest of the poor fishing communities? So this is just some of the examples, but I want to say that it's not going to make a difference in the lives of South Africans. But more importantly, these are people that you trusted, and they've broken that trust. And I don't think they must be given an opportunity again. People must come out there, vote wisely, vote with your mind. Let us not be emotional, and ensure that we put the right kind of people that will make the difference and protect our identity, our freedom of religion, and a lot that is going to be at stake. You can say goodbye to the Palestinian cause in South Africa right now from a political perspective or from a parliamentary perspective, my brother.
It really seems that the situation is going to be worse than what it was.
Certainly, I can tell you, the problems that we have has been going on for 30 years. And in 30 years, some are saying that now the ANC will have an opportunity now that they're working with them, and they'll be able to implement. They have some good policies. Yes, indeed, there have been some good policies. But when you have those good policies, my brother, you were in control, absolute control with a majority. And if you did not implement them when you had a majority, how are you going to implement them when you're sitting in the same cabinet with people across the board from you that are in opposition to your policies? Whether you talk about the NHI, whether you talk about the employment equity, whether you talk about mineral and resources, whether you talk about public enterprises, where government is talking about a public-private partnership, where the opposition are talking about handing it all over to the party, your SAA, your Danels, your all these institutions. So there's a whole lot for us to worry about. And it simply means that because they come from opposition, they will have to concentrate on their differences to agree to disagree, which is highly unlikely, you understand, then concentrate on the differences that you have to make in bringing about change for the better for people on the ground. That's what is going to happen. So first of all, you've got to be able to concede that there are major differences, and unless you can come to a common ground, how are you going to do that? Because the direction that you're getting, and from whoever you're getting them from, like I'll give you a good example, it is common knowledge. Parties like the DA are funded by the Western white monopoly capital with a mandate. President Ramaphosa has very similar. However, the rest of his cabinet is not of the same view. So there's division amongst them as well. But I think that this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to come together, make the right decisions. We know where the weaknesses are. We know the loopholes. We know how elections are stolen and rigged, which is what we saw. And I think it's an opportunity for us to come together. So that, remember, local government is the heartbeat of the delivery of services. This is where all the looting starts, from local government and then moves to provincial and national. You lose 40% of goods and services in South Africa on not getting value for money. And there is an opportunity to put the right kind of people in local government in 2026.
Now, with the DA's exit from the government of provincial unity in Gauteng affect its relationship with the ANC in the government of national unity?
no doubt about it. If you remember that in the Moonshot Pact discussions that were taking place, ANC raised the concerns about the DA, where they said, but if you are talking about us going into coalition and working together, remember GNU was never ever part of the vocabulary. Then the Action SA wanted to know, then why are we not able to start right now in Joburg and many others? So already there was disagreement there between them on the way they were conducting themselves based on ethics and values. Exactly what you're going to see right now. So can the DA be trusted? No, it can't be trusted. It's exactly the same thing that you're going to see here now. This is going to be the first step that is going to cause division between them that they could not remember. The president has given instructions. You will see some casualties from the ANC side coming shortly because he gave instructions to accommodate the DA and things. And I am told, I'm not sure to what extent this is reliable information, that President Zuma did intervene to some extent there, former President Zuma, that had an impact on the way they conducted themselves. They formed a minority government. But no doubt about it, that this will have an impact. The DA is going to come back. Perhaps there might be something underground that's going on between the DA and the ANC. And it might start with the ANC taking action against its own people before trying to bring some kind of reasonable agreement between the ANC and the DA, or an attempt at least to try and remove and bring the DA into a coalition or into a government of national unity there as well. I think, I mean, we've got 5 years, so you can expect some decisions from the president that's going to be unpopular amongst its own people. But remember, you can see the president of the country has already taken a decision in the direction, in the appointments he's made, that he wants to go. So it's what I find here, it doesn't matter if you destroy your entire organization here, you know, in order to achieve what you want, you will do anything and everything. And that's the direction they're moving in.
Jazakumullah for your valuable time on this Sunday morning and your valuable input also. Insha'Allah, we will talk again next Sunday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
That was Brother Ahmad Manzoor, Sheikh Imam, a seasoned politician, an ex-parliamentarian and a leader of the party AEM for Change, that is Allied Movement for Change, commenting on the selection of ministers and other issues that are topical currently in our country, South Africa.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.